Well, greetings in the precious name of Jesus. It's a blessing to be gathered together again in the house of God. We take these things for granted pretty easily in life, so we want to thank the Lord and want to bless the Lord this morning. I was thinking of His mercies again this morning when I woke up and just outside looking around. And if it's quiet, we listen to the birds chirp. Sometimes in life, we don't take time to just be quiet and listen and think. The birds were beautiful. Their singing was beautiful. And I think I was blessed with the singing this morning. We have a little lower attendance today. But singing from the heart draws the heart of God. It tugs at God's heart. Singing from our hearts. May this morning, the words that we already heard, they were rich for us. May we can just continue on with the word like that. Maybe together, before I start, we could rise and we could have a word of prayer together. Let's stand for prayer. Yes, Father in heaven, this morning, this beautiful Lord's Day morning, we bow before you. We thank you for what you've given us already this day. We thank you for health. Thank you for life. For sound mind, we thank you for redemption that is in your Son Jesus this morning. Thank you for our families, Lord. We heard different things today about obedience and about fathers and children. We pray, Father, today that you would help us to remember these things, Lord. Tuck them in our hearts. Help us to remember that you are our Father in heaven this morning and you care about every detail of our life. And so as we gather in this way, as I lift up a portion of your word this morning, the burdens, the thoughts you put upon my heart, Lord, that we would convey those together, we would learn together of your word to get today, that we could grow on the narrow way, and we could be done with less and less of this world and everything it has to offer. We could become more like you. We just pray a blessing on this day. We pray for a protection, that you would guard over your people. Guard over the words, the thoughts. Guard over your precious word that we desired that it would be pure. It would be your anointed word. That it would be as manna that fell from heaven for the children of Israel. It would be for this day. Thank you for what you've given to us already. We commit this time to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, thinking of a greeting, sometimes we greet in different ways, but I thought of the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. He said, "Grace be unto you and peace from God, the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." That's the greeting from Paul there in Galatians. Today I would like to look, I'll make a disclaimer or two on the onset. I had some thoughts earlier on this week on talking about training children or Christian home. And as I walked through that in my own life, it seemed like toward the end of the week, the Lord took me a different direction. And I'm not sure if I can explain why. But I am blessed with our children, our own children. I'm blessed with all the children here. And so we were very clearly exhorted this morning. Brother Sally was sharing some of the thoughts, and Brother Arlen there on obedience. And because obedient children, it's irreplaceable, you know. But today, the burden on my heart that seemed like the Lord laid upon my heart, we'll find in Matthew chapter 7, if you want to turn your Bibles there. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. It's two verses for a, you would say, a benchmark or a foundation to work from. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. It says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." Verse 14, it says, "Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." The title for a few thoughts that I would like to give, the title is "The Message, The Broad Way That Leads to Destruction." the broad way that leads to destruction. And the battleground is, why do we have to talk about the broad way in the Church of Jesus Christ? Because the broad way is drawing. It draws at times. It has us from the foundation without repentance. But then it draws men from the narrow way. The broad way will always lead to destruction. Not always leads to destruction. We want to look at a little bit of a broad way that has destruction on it. It also leads to a final destruction. So this morning, the burden of this message will be lopsided, because there is another one, the narrow way. We'll allude to it. We'll make a few balancing thoughts to it. But most of my points will be the broad way and the destruction of it. The broad way this morning in these scriptures is there's a couple of thoughts that come when we think, if I'd ask some input, when you think of the broad way, when I think of the broad way, we're thinking, what do we think about when we think of the broad way in light of even reading here in Matthew chapter 7? If we'll go through here a little bit, I want to go back in the book of Proverbs and draw a couple points. So if you want to write these points down, there's six of them. I think we'll cover three probably today. And just thinking of this, in Proverbs we'll find of a forward people. Not a forward people, a forward, F-O-R-F-R-O. A forward people is on the broad road. We're going to see a foolish people. They're on the broad road. Then we're going to see people that love iniquity. They're on the broad road. And then three that we would put together is lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Power lovers. Money lovers. Materialistic. We won't cover them all, but just some thoughts if you wanted to write them down. These things are all self-destructive. The reason it's become a burden on my heart is because when men are on the broad road, many times in the context of Jesus' burden here, they don't know it. We don't know that at times. The broad road, there's many, as Brother Mervyn alluded to there this morning on the comment, if everyone we meet is just on the broad, is just on the narrow road, then why the fight? Why the strife? Why the pressing in? And the reality is, it's not true this morning. That not every, because the scripture says, and I know that we go from balance and we go from swinging pendulum, and we don't want to do that unhealthily this morning. But in them two verses, it says, many there be which be thereon. Many. And that's Jesus' words. And sometimes we try to make that road narrow when it's still wide and broad. Because the Bible says in 14 there, that the narrow way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And so there is the word many and the word few. That interpretation can vary in the way we're thinking about God and how we view our Heavenly Father. It is not His will that anyone is on the broad road. But the stark reality this morning is that many or most are on the broad road, according to the heart of Jesus. So that gives us a burden. It gives me a... And I see that burden in my own life. The narrow way to life. They are always in contrast. They're going apart. The narrow way and the broad way. Many times when someone is on the broad way, we try to convince ourselves that we're on the narrow way to life. You know, we really don't care very much. Men don't really care very much about life and about reality. It seems the first burden here in Matthew chapter 7 that Jesus was dealing with, right after that, he says in verse 15, be aware of false prophets. That's not a harlot on the streets of our inner cities. That's not what it is. Jesus said, be aware of false prophets. For they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. False prophets. False prophets are hypocrites with evil hearts, and they have a mask of deception. They cover up things. a mask over their face. You know, the cutting edge for deception. I think of, you often hear of the word, what is the cutting edge of Christianity? What is the cutting edge of your business? What is the final line of everything? And the cutting edge here, if we'll find this a little bit in these scriptures there, and you shall know them by their fruits. And I often think of this, an evil heart, a mask of deception and false prophets, there will fruit ooze out of their life every time. And that's the only thing that we can go by, according to the scriptures. I think of this fruit, not criticizing, but fruit inspection. That's the only thing Jesus has given us, fruit. Isn't that freeing this morning? You know, I can look at the fruit of my life, and I can know if I'm deceived. I can truly know that if we want to, if we want to. But when we start to justify and push back, it's a cutting edge. It reveals who we are. I think of this in light of my life, all of our lives together. In light of the scriptures, as you study men of God in the Bible, men are filled with motives. And they come out all the time. And I always thank the Lord. That word motive is not bad. We're men of God are filled with motives. What are they and why are they? Why do we do? Brother Sally alluded to that this morning. Why do we do what we do? There is a motive why we do things. Let's look at, think of the scriptures in Proverbs chapter 2, if you want to turn there. For some of the forward people. Proverbs chapter 2. Verse 10, it says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of evil men, of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leave the path of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they follow their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house is inclined unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. The word forward is in there a few times. When we allow that forward spirit, you know, I thought of this. Jesus knew this when he looked at these men, these, I would say, good men, well-meaning men in his time. He knew that. He knew the motivations that were driving their life. The secrets of men were revealed by Jesus Christ. The secrets of men. Are we thankful for that this morning? I think of those. In verse 13, it says, who leave the path of uprightness and walk in the ways of darkness. You know, what does a man have to do to leave the path of rightness and just walk in darkness? You know, some of that thought is just gross things out there. It's not really. It's not really that way. It's just to walk in darkness. Just not walking in reality. Putting up a front. Being in fraud. You know, forward things is another word in some of the Strong's and some of the dictionary lookups that I did. It's distorted. It's just distorted and crooked. It's false. And then the third meaning is turn aside and literally to depart. Because a forward man will do anything rather than to come to reality with life. He'll do anything. Because we save face. We love to save face. Natural man just saves face. A forward man will do that. That's the fruit that we see in the whole book of Proverbs. The reason some of this was born, we're kind of going through the book of Proverbs as a family. life in this situation is fake. In the evaluation of reality, is also fake. Either when we find ourselves in this journey, maybe we've started a journey and we find ourselves that something's just not right. Doesn't always mean we're on the broad road, but there's a bridge I thought of drawing, and I won't probably for the sake of time, but there's a bridge that continues to be drawn from the narrow road and from the broad road, and they're going apart. And you know, the pictures of that come into our minds, they're differently from each of our mindsets. But there's bridges that are continually being drawn or tried to build from one of those things to another. And as I think of these things, that bridge is where we find ourselves at times. I would call them the bridges of decision. There's a decision in my life, in your life, on the narrow road. And we make a decision. And then there's a decision there. And there's things sometimes can bridge us over, headed back toward the broad road. Keep an eye on that in my life, all of our lives, as we read God's Word. Either at this point of the bridge of decision, there's either repentance happens or justification. We can stay on the narrow road. Repentance or just a justification to keep going my own forward way. Slowly departing from the narrow way. Yet thinking I'm on the right road. Proverbs chapter 12. Continue to move here. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. We're looking at a foolish people. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, it says, "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man overcometh shame. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief." Verse 22, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of the fools proclaim foolishness." And we look at fools in the scripture. I think we're not here to call people fools, but we're talking about a foolish content, a foolish people. Have we ever been foolish? Have I ever been foolish? And we know we have been in an old life going after our own way. Because the foundation of a foolish person is that my way is right in my own eyes. In my own eyes, I'm right. Just think about how foolish we can become. When we can take our ways and we can bring those ways in light of God's precious word, and we can lay our ways before the word of God and before our families and before our brethren and allow them to be examined by the word of God. Our ways are not at stake. God's ways are not at stake. We don't need to fight for our ways. God's ways are perfect and they work. Let's look again at what this fruit is. This fruit is a product. Foolishness has a fruit. You know, the narrow way has a fruit, but the broad way has a fruit. You know, I think of a foolish, the word in Proverbs, it says a prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. And so look at the difference there on the, you would say that would be the difference, the interchange between the broad road and the narrow road. A foolish man just uttereth anything that comes to his mind. And when a foolish man is poked hard enough, he'll do just that. And then he'll say, "That's not really what's in my heart." I just want to think about how foolish we become. Actually, that's what's in our heart. God just gives the beautiful opportunity for that to come out. And I thank him for that, because when we proclaim things out of our life that's foolishly, we can repent of those. That does not mean we got to get off of the narrow. We're on the narrow and on the broad every other day. That's not how it works. But this world, this is a road that most of the world is on. This starts now with our own destruction. And some of you have lived longer. Really, none of us are that old at all in light of eternity. And when these words were penned in the Bible, as God in heaven was looking down and he gave authority to his son Jesus Christ, you know, none of us were in the picture here today. None of us. We're part of the recipient receiving this goodly heritage, this kingdom of God, the church of Jesus, Jesus being the king. You know, the destruction starts now because in Proverbs 13:15 it says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressors is hard. It's true, beloved. The way of transgression is hard. You know, men that walked in this way, we try to save face, we try to be fake, we try to do things to cover things up. It's a hard road. There's misery, there's distress, there's confusion. And the Bible says every evil thing topples in on that. You know, a good indication of a foolish man. A foolish man will speak evil of things that he does not understand. I've done that in my life. Have you? You know, we speak evil of things that we don't understand. In scriptures, different places in some of the epistles, it talks about speaking evil of dignities. Distress. This, a lot of times, in the light of a foolish man, this is just a good way to deal with a boatload of guilty thoughts and shame and guilt. It's to speak evil of dignity or good things or righteousness in that sense. You know, a foolish man for sure. The primary fruit that we'll see is we know everyone else's faults. Everyone's got a lot of bad faults, but not me. Just think about that in light of the broad road. Proverbs 14, verse 11, it says, the house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. There again is that principle on the broad road. A fool will rage and he will be confident in what? Those things have been a good study for me. Think of a laughter. Have you ever been present where there was a big, heavy laughter and it was just foolishness? It really wasn't the true man. It really wasn't the true people. A good laughter is fine. But a fake, distorted thing is foolish. We do these things to push down guilt. A man that is foolish is in a rage and he's very confident in himself and all his learnings. I would say that's, in a nutshell, it's on the broad road. Good men, really, really well-meaning men on the broad road. Proverbs 15. Verse 6, it says, in the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fool doth not so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loveth him that followeth after righteousness. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. And then verse 11, it says, hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more than the hearts of the children of men? And here is a little bit of the, probably some of the thoughts that have captivated our hearts as a family and my own life. Verse 11, it says, hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more than the hearts of the children of men? You know, the word hell here, we're going to look at that a little bit on the destructive path of the broad way. The word hell here means, it's S-H-E-O-L, would mean the grave or death. And I know that many of you know that. But in this hell, in this death, is the Christless grave of an unrepented individual. Is death, this hell is death. In this death of without Christ, maybe this would allude to, if there's someone under the sound of the voice of the scriptures this morning, you must be born again. You must come to this. Because this death, as you read through Proverbs and then on into the new covenant, this death is a place that's void of all love. It's void of hate. It's void of envy. It's void of work. It's void of wisdom and knowledge. It's void of everything. This morning it's black. This death without Christ is black. Grave is silent. The grave is silent. Some of you have experienced death. The grave is silent. There's no more movement. But oh, it's only an entrance. It's only an entrance. But we're talking about the broad road. That's why the burden becomes heavier. Because there's so many on the broad road this morning. And know this morning, Jesus, we hear sometimes that Jesus holds the keys to this hell. He holds the keys to this hell, I would say this death and destruction. So if you picture with me a mass multitude of people on the broad road, how can we help each other understand how serious it is to get off of it and to get on a narrow road? Because at the end, or not just at the end, but even through, there's death on the broad road. And then this death is the equation to what we just shared. It's a Christless eternity forever and ever. Blackness of night. I think it behooves us with words as we study the scripture. We read it and we don't know how to say how dark it is and how black it is. We've never been there. And everyone that's alive and is on the broad road has never been there. It's destruction. Jesus has the keys this morning. You know, Jesus doesn't have the keys this morning to go into hell and to take people out of the grave that are not right with God. That's not what he has keys to do. But his keys, his word, his way has an entrance to save us while we're living, to prepare us to die while we're living, to save us from the sting of that great death that we're looking at. Hell and destruction are in this path. There's a little bit of an interchange if you think of if you turn your Bibles to Matthew 16. Of the beauty of the narrow road that what Jesus Christ has established. If you go to Matthew chapter 16, this was Jesus when he came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples in verse 13, whom do men say that the Son of Man am? And they said, some said thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we'll go there, then we're going to continue on a little bit in verse 19. The thought there given is the same interpretation as when Jesus asked Peter this question. You know, I picture Jesus, and when he would ask us that question this morning, who am I? And Peter understood this. He understood that he was Jesus, the Son of God. And then Jesus acknowledged to him that flesh and blood did not reveal that to him. It was the Spirit of the Lord Jesus. And then when that was said, he said, I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, Jesus said, and upon this rock will I build my church, upon this foundation of what Peter understood. He will build this, the church, the people that are on the narrow road, he will build this. And he's doing that. He has done that from then on, and he's still doing that. He's building the church, and he says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I want to. It's an interchange. I want to also have. There is a hope in this life, but it is in this narrow way. It is in this choice of a narrow way. The gates of hell would be the grave will not stop the church, or death. Though I think this morning, when I think of these things, if we take us in this room, and we push us all ahead about 80 or 90 years, we're going to be under the ground. We're going to be, unless the Lord returns, we're going to be in the grave. And I believe Jesus is saying that the gates of the grave won't stop the church. It won't happen. He'll keep right on. That's why we talk about power lovers and pleasure lovers. It's all on the broad road. You know, it's not certain individuals. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the King of the church. He's the Lord of the church. And therefore, it's great courage that the narrow way will go all the way home. It's an interchange. We need that as Christians. Death and grave won't stop the work of Jesus. You know, the only thing that happens when we move this scene ahead 80 or 90 years, we'll be in the grave if we're on the narrow road, and we'll be there waiting for the resurrection of the saints. We'll be there waiting for the resurrection of saints unto life and the fullness of eternal life. The fullness of it. What exchange for that do we want for fraud and deception and a mask of whatever we talked about earlier? I think of these verses in verse 19. Then he says in verse 19, And I will give unto thee the keys. There again, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And you know the interpretation of those verses. They've been a battle. I know they have been. But it seems to be saying that this church that's on a narrow road, these people that are committed to the narrow road, this is what it seems to be saying. It says that they are going to establish on earth already what's established in heaven. That's what they're going to press for. And whatever's loosed on earth, whatever's loosed in heaven, they're going to loose on earth. Because they're saturated in that kingdom. That's all that God's people are about. We're not here making our own little deals on earth. It don't work that way. But when we become part of that narrow road, we become under that authority of the truth. That what we are doing here is transferable over there. It's transferable. Loving your enemies. Godly marriages. Christian homes. We all talk about that. These things are not going to, there's all going to be different over there. But all these principles have to be transferable. And then we build on it. And we are unashamed of it. In Psalms chapter 9, again with the gates of death and hell and destruction. Verse 13, chapter 9, Psalms chapter 9, 13, it says, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me, that thou liftest me up from the gates of hell." Again, the same thing. "That I may show forth all the praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk into the pit that they made in the net which they hid in their own foot." Which they hid is their own foot taken. "The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." And again, that word, "the wicked shall be turned into a Christless grave. And all the nations that forget God." Would allude to the fact that one day we could forget God. We could, because the nation of Israel has done that. We would never want to believe that, but we have to preach that too. That there could be a generation with us that forget God. And according to the scriptures, that there'll be a Christless grave. We don't want that. We want to talk about hope, but we also want to talk about the warnings of this. "Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men." You know what? On the narrow road, we're but men. That's what we are. On the broad road, there's power and there's money and material. You know, there's a gauge on if somebody has a little more money, he has more power. And I tell you, it's foolishness this morning. But men run after it and push their weight around. It's on the broad road. The church this morning, I think if Jesus has the keys to a personal, but this morning the church has the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Simply adhering to the teachings of Jesus and the life of Jesus. Because this church, this people that's on the narrow road, this is born of his flesh. The church is born of the flesh of Jesus Christ. So we adhere to that. We adhere to his teachings. If you turn to your Bibles here to same chapter, I think we're in Matthew there. My opening verses there in Matthew, it talks about we're again looking at fruit. Matthew 16. We're going to continue in Matthew 16. If I said 7, it was wrong. It's 16. Where 25 and 26, in the same chapter, we talked about the gates of hell. And we talk about Peter and them's response. In verse 23, Peter took him after he shared this with him, and he shared Jesus shared how he's going to suffer, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited?" That's what I want to look at a little bit. That cry has been made through the decades of the church. And there's different thoughts there. I know there's a lot of different thoughts even in this room probably. But as I think of this, oh, that we could show the beauty. If we're looking at the narrow road, if we're looking at it in a way that it's just getting so narrow that I can't do anything I want, we're probably not looking at it properly. We're on the narrow road because it's the only way home. You see the difference in contrast and idea. We still might be on the broad road with our idea. The narrow road leads home. And that's been a great blessing for our life, in my life, as I think of this. He says, "For what is a man profiteth, he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall he shall reward every man according to his works." I just want us to think about that. Those questions that have been asked. What will a man give in exchange for his soul this morning? The broad road or the narrow road? The question comes continually, even becoming a Christian. But when we're on the bridge of decision, and we know what God wants us to do, we know it. But we're too ashamed to do it. We're too ashamed to make the decision. To cost us an eternal home. Think about that. Never do that. May God help us. May God help the church. We live in a world, I know, that has always been, I'm sure that has been preached, but a world that continues to bring the wide road and the narrow road and try to bring them together and somehow bring these two things together, and it never works that way. Most every time the church is becoming on the broad road, the church, the people of God, we become like the world to win the world. I want us to think about that as men, older men. I want us to think about that as young men, young women. Take the step. Take the step. Own the kingdom of God. Own the narrow way. Don't view the narrow way as just a restrictive path that I can't barely do anything, and then someday I'm going to break wide open into heaven. It don't work that way. May it be different in our minds. The next thought, the third one is real quickly, is a worker of iniquity. I want us to see that in verse 22 back in Matthew. Verse 23, after he says in verse 22, "Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord," and this is in Matthew 7, back to Matthew 7, verse 22. "Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto thee, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And I couldn't help but almost see it. Almost seemed like all three of those words kind of have a flowing foundation. But the word iniquity has a couple of different meanings. The workers of iniquity here, they've had evil activity. This is on the broad road. You know, verse 22, they said, "Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in thy name have we not cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wonderful works." I think we hear that. The church, the people of God hear that. And Jesus told them, and I still wonder sometimes, you know, we aren't Jesus, but we are the church. We're part of the narrow way. We're part of the kingdom of God. So God gives us the burdens as God's people. You know, statements of iniquity. You know, I believe that these things are very true. He's not denouncing the fact that we prophesy in his name, or we cast out devils. These are true and right. Or we do many wonderful works. There's no negative content to that. But I believe what he's trying to get them to see is that the iniquity that they're into is they're not willing to follow him. They're not willing to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. They were not willing to do that. That was the crooked, perverse iniquity that he was addressing here. And I want us to think, when I think of that, I think of statements, I would call it iniquity, or patterns of iniquity. And I say this, not because it's fun to say, because I believe it's a reality that starts sometimes in my own life. I want us to think about this when men are on the narrow road. We choose, we repent. We give our life to God and we quit. We want to go the way of the cross. And sometimes we get on there, that path, and there's a decision to be made. You know, whether I'm going to You know, I wrote some thoughts down, and you can add and take whether I'm going to be non-resistant. I'm not going to resist. I'm going to quit that. By the Spirit and the grace of God, I'm going to quit that. And then the cry comes. Well, you got to understand, that's not a salvation issue. And I would like to say that those are ideas of iniquity. And they're on the broad road. The idea. Now, the learning process. We're on a road. We're learning. Same thing it is with money. With our ideas of life. We draw a lot of our ideas from Zig Ziglar and Dave Ramsey. People do that. And I don't know how to say it. But these ideas are on the broad road. Many of these ideas are on the broad road. There's a lot of principles that we can draw from many, many people in the world. But the broad road is drawing the church many times. This happens also with modesty. It happens with someone's battling if they want to do a veiling or they don't want to do a veiling. And we hear, now remember, that's not a salvation issue. It isn't in the sense of what we're going toward. But when there's a justification pushing back against obeying the scriptures, it becomes a crooked, perverse iniquity. And the church swallows up into the broad road. That's why he could say, cast out devils. Look, we done all this. Look, we done this and we done this. But you omit the things that Jesus really is asking us to do. That's iniquity. Or you could call iniquity, another name is for iniquity is twisting truth. Just taking a truth and twisting it to fit me. Iniquity has some other meanings too. That's one of them. In Malachi, we'll give that meaning. In Malachi 2:6 is a prophecy of Jesus turning away men from iniquity. And that means turning away men from moral perverseness and moral evil. I praise God that that's also there. He turns us away from moral evil. You know, he turns us away from crookedness, from lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. He turns us away to stop dealing treacherously with our brother in Malachi. Stop dealing treacherously with the wife of our youth. On the broad road, these things are happening all the time. And there's no intent for victory. There's no path forward. At the end of this is hell. And it is a hell. I was thinking that it is a hell that is fire, according to the scripture. The end of that is something that not a one of us would raise our hands and say that we want to go to hell at the end of our life. But the reality is, if there's a resistance to this narrow way calling, and we just remain on the broad road all our life, we will end up like it was in Luke 16, where that man will be asking for a drop of water and it won't be given him. It'll happen. I would like to close with a few scriptures. In Mark chapter 9 is some scriptures that give a little bit of the a closure to what we talked about today. There could be a lot more shared. But at the end of this destructive life, there is an eternal lake of fire with torment forever and ever, the Bible says. And you can find that through the scripture. So Mark chapter 9, verse 43, it says, "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell. For into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet and to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Where the memory dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. For if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. There again, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched." And in 49 and 50, I want to let this with you as an antidote and a call for my life and for all of us.
It says, For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. And I think of that when I read through that a few times. Let our lives be tried with fire. Let it be tried with fire now. You know, the fire of proving and suffering, that fakeness and deception. Right now is the opportunity for allowing the Word, the mirror, not just the very fabric of eternity to judge us and to suffer us to be proved. May we be proved by this. May that fire prove us. Then after that, that sacrifice will be salted with salt, the Bible says. Then that sacrifice that is proven now has salt on it, and it becomes salt that is good. Have you ever seen a man that's been proven? And the salt in his life is very good. It's very sweet. It's not repulsive. We desire that. That's the call of the church. Therefore, the reaping of our lives at the end can be glorious, glorious forever and ever. That's the call of heaven. That's the call of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think we'll bring it to a close there. My burden was today that we would understand the seriousness of a broad road and the blessings of a narrow road, which we didn't talk about that much. In contrast to the narrow road, the broad road is destructive and very unproductive. So if we have those inclinations in our life today that something's just not right, let the fire of God's Word prove our makings and prove our sacrifice. So God bless you all. And pray for us as a family that we would remain on the narrow road that leads to life. God bless you all.